Oh, I have had no luck lately. Wait, lady luck?
Britsky, I got you. I've had so much luck on SpinQuest.com. They have all of my favorite games, slot games, live blackjack craps, and bubble craps. You can even get a $30 coin pack for just 10 bucks.
10 bucks for 30? I'm headed over to SpinQuest.com right now.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Mike, we have a lot of ground to cover today.
Yes, we do.
Because the floodgates have opened. The floodgates have opened. You know, during Donald Trump's first term, he had a very, very high turnover rate, a famously high turnover rate that everybody would commentate on. You know, every single week he's firing somebody. Scaramucci was in there for 11 days or so, and his turnover rate was massively high. In Trump's second term, I will admit he's tried to keep that down. Now, he fired a bunch of civil servants during the first year. He purged a bunch of institutions of people who are veterans. So in a sense, he was having a high turnover right there, but he's kind of kept his gang of stooges together, unfortunately, until the past few weeks. There is a house of cards collapsing. The floodgates are opening, and it seems like he is more and more willing to fire people or let people go due to the polling that he sees. We can look at a few examples. Obviously, Pam Bondi happened just a few days ago, but only a few weeks before that, Kristi Noem was let go. Throughout all of this, there have been rumors that he's splitting with his director of national intelligence, Tulsi Gabbard, who very famously and obviously disagrees with Trump on some of the strategy and goal of this war and even the intelligence underlying this war. So the thing that I want to point out is when it comes to someone like Pam Bondi, let's look at that. She's not getting fired because she split with Trump or she went against Trump. She's being fired because she ran cover for him and made both of them look bad. We can just look at the Epstein files. Pam Bondi didn't split with Trump on the Epstein files and throw him under the bus and then he got pissed. No, she defended him down to the very last second, and that made both of them look ridiculous. Due to that, Donald Trump's approval rating or his popularity rating is rapidly spiraling down the drain, and he's clearly looking for some sort of way to reorient right now. Now, I don't know how that fits in with the awful budget proposal we'll talk about later, but I want to hear your overall take on the specific firings. And even, like, speaking of firings, I also want you to fill us in on what's happening with Pete Hegseth firing people, because I've been caught up in some travel and I haven't been able to fully catch up. And by the way, if you're watching this, make sure you do drop a like, drop a heart, and subscribe to the Adam Ockler and the Mike Nellis feed below this video or on Substack. We are building a strong, independent media community where we can fight back, and you can subscribe to both of us below. Okay, Mike, take it away.
Yeah, well, there's a couple things here. So the first thing is he's totally panicked. And I think you see that in a myriad of different ways right now, both the random weird Truth Social post where he's attacking Bruce Springsteen for something that happened a week ago, which he continues to do. And I don't understand why other than distraction politics. But if you watch the speech he gave on Iran, was that Wednesday night? And it was supposed to be this big moment. He was going to give this big explosive speech with an update. There was no new information.
Boring.
He was reading off the teleprompter. He was boring old man Trump. And prime Donald Trump understood that fundamentally you can never be boring in American politics if you want to move people in a particular direction. So I think that he's scared. And in times when he's been scared, he sticks to the teleprompter. And I'll go back to the Biden debate, which, not that I want to bring up a painful memory, but like when he realized that like Biden was like sort of like imploding in the moment in front of the American people, you know what he did? He kept it like calm and cool. So I think he now understands I'm in trouble. And so he's trying to stick in his lane. But you look at the changes that they're making here. They fired Kristi Noem a few weeks ago after standing behind her. They fired Pam Bondi. And by the way, it's a terrible look, in my opinion, that they're only firing women at the moment.
I was going to mention that, yeah.
Right. Tulsi Gabbard's next. Apparently, the labor secretary, her name escapes me in the moment. Like, she's apparently on the chopping block, too, because she's got, like, multiple concurrent scandals involving her and her husband. It's just an absolute disaster of a cabinet that they've put together. But I think they're rearranging the deck chairs on the Titanic. I don't know what else to call it. I think that they can read the same polling that you and I can. Trump's approval rating is at 32%, according to UMass. He is underwater on every major issue, including immigration and ICE and the border, which he should never be underwater on. That's his signature issue. I always tell people that's like Barack Obama being underwater on healthcare. Like, that should never happen. If that happens, if Barack Obama doesn't beat Mitt Romney in his reelection campaign. So I think they're panicked. And I think to him, it's like, he's looking in the mirror going, am I the problem? No, I'm not the problem. It's all the people around me that are the problem. So he's just going to remove them. But whoever he puts as AG isn't going to be dramatically better, because the problem wasn't Pam Bondi as much as she was an embarrassment to the American people and an embarrassment to the men and women at the DOJ and the FBI and the rest of it that work really hard to keep the American people safe. It's that she was covering up for pedophiles in the Epstein files. It's that she was trying to prosecute Donald Trump's political opponents, by the way, failing. That's the reason I think she actually got fired. She's not able to throw Donald Trump, or excuse me, Don Lemon in prison. She's not able to just throw Tish James in prison. By the way, there's a very obvious pattern there that you could point out as well. So I just think it's like a failed, ineffective president panicking, hoping that he can just move things around and everything will suddenly get better. But until they have a plan to help improve the American people's lives, which he doesn't, they're screwed, which is actually maybe a good segue into the budget, Adam.
Well, you made a good point there. It's like Donald Trump is firing all of the women in his administration because some of the women in his administration, like Pam Bondi, can't prosecute enough black people in America. It's like, this is what's happening right now under the Trump administration. And the problem wasn't just that Pam Bondi was bad at her job. It's also the incentive structure that Donald Trump creates every single time he appoints one of these loyalists. I was making this point earlier, but like, he creates this incentive structure for them to play along so much so that it makes everybody look ridiculous. Pam Bondi wasn't splitting with Trump on Epstein. It was like a race to the pits of hell to see who could cover up the Epstein files more and more and more. And that is a great segue to the budget proposal, which we'll just talk about for a quick minute, because I think it all loops back in to the flailing of the Republican Party and the pure desperation. Trump's proposal for fiscal year 2027 requests $1.5 trillion for the Pentagon. That is a 44% increase in the largest defense budget in U.S. history. Listen, I'm not somebody who thinks the entire military-industrial complex should be defunded immediately. I see the value in having a strong military, but this proposal right here is effing insane. Yeah. It way overinflates the military budget beyond how much it's already inflated. And then what it does is it cuts a bunch of funds away from the EPA, the Environmental Protection Agency, 52% cut. A lot of our State Department programs, a lot of our National Institute of Health research and funding that helps aid certain cancer research, cut, cut, cut. Renewable energy projects, cut. The Labor Department and incentives for small businesses to start up all being cut. So that can be reallocated towards the military, towards giving it the largest budget ever. This goes directly in contradiction to every single thing Donald Trump has said since his entry into U.S. politics. The entire MAGA movement, the impetus of it, the catalyst of it, you could partially argue, there were a lot of catalysts, including immigration and other things, but you could partially argue it was the fact that the Republican Party under Bush kept getting us in more debt, more endless wars, going into the Middle East and following this neocon playbook. There are clips of Donald Trump in 2016, even as recently as 2021, yelling about the debt and saying that prior Republican administrations got us in the debt. And now we're doing this at a time when people are already struggling, at a time when Pete Hegseth is firing top generals, Donald Trump is barely getting proper briefings and firing the people around him. This doesn't make me feel more safe.
Well, what are you talking about, Adam? Caroline Levitt said that Donald Trump is the most well-read person that she's ever met. So
yeah, true.
The least believable thing I've ever heard any Trump administration official say. Like, that guy has never read a book in his life.
And I'm dating the Queen of England right now, by
right,
the way.
Right. It's just unbelievable stuff. But like, I think the budget bill's insane. It's not going to pass. Like, Republicans in Congress do not have that big of a death wish. And this president doesn't have that kind of pull anymore. Even if they do a reconciliation bill, they're not going to be able to pass that much spending in it. And they would be foolish to do so. But I do think we've got two sort of weird in-kind gifts to the Democratic Party from Donald Trump this week relative to the midterms. One, it's this budget bill, which dramatically increases military spending at a time when people are pissed off about the war in Iran. Trump is as unpopular on this war in Iran right now as he is on the Epstein files, which I think is, honestly, that's a political accomplishment to be that unpopular on two separate issues.
Impressive.
But you know what? Credit to the American people, though. They're just as angry about billionaires abusing little kids as they are about people getting killed overseas.
Yeah.
But then the second thing is, he gives a speech this week where he goes, sorry, America doesn't have money to pay for daycare or Medicare or Medicare or Medicaid, at the same time when we're asking for so much money to blow shit up halfway around the world that doesn't do anything except make defense contractors wealthier. So I think if you're the average American, this president was elected really on two promises, all right? And I don't like Donald Trump. I would never vote for Donald Trump. I didn't believe a single thing he said in the campaign. But to the 49.5% of Americans who voted for Donald Trump in the presidential election, it was two core promises. I will make everything less expensive, and I will not send your kids to go die in another forever war in the Middle East. Those are the two things that he said that, honestly, the second one on the wars, I actually believed him on that. I did believe that that was something that he wasn't going to do. unbelievable that we're in this situation again because he's getting dog walked by Bibi Netanyahu and his right wing government. But what's Donald Trump done? Made everything more expensive. The tariffs have killed the job market. Grocery prices are more expensive. They were, even before the war, they were crowing about gas prices being a nominal like 10 cents cheaper than they were under Joe Biden. But the average car payment has ballooned to like $750 on average for the average American right now. So what's the value of lower gas prices when you can't afford to buy a car? But on top of that, now gas prices are a disaster, diesel prices are a disaster, fertilizer prices are a disaster, and that's going to crush American farmers who are already getting killed in this administration by their poor policies. They've had to bail out farmers once. They're talking about a second farmer bailout. And in Iowa right now, this is the perfect like segue into like the intersection of these disastrous policies and then the politics of it, is Iowa is in the middle of a recession. It might be more than any other state right now getting hurt by Donald Trump's policies and these shitty elected leaders that they have on the Republican Party side. Like, they're on the verge of electing a Democratic governor. They're on the verge of electing a Democratic senator. And what does Donald Trump do? He introduces a budget that dramatically cuts aid for farmers all across the country. So this budget bill will crush Iowa farmers. Take it, Adam. I'm sorry.
No, I didn't mean to cut you off. And I was just going to really quickly add, this is at a time when rising diesel costs are already going to nuke the price of a lot of transportation of goods, and then a lot of the final price of goods as well. I mean, it's going to be passed down to consumers. So people in Iowa are going to be struggling even more. Going back to the firings, mass firings throughout the administration, can you explain to me what's going on with Pete Hegseth? I was traveling a bit yesterday and I got to read an article about this, but I wasn't able to fully, you know, massage it in and soak it in due to all the war news yesterday. So what exactly did Pete Hegseth do and what was the reason?
So we're basically dealing with like a Saturday night massacre at the Pentagon is what it feels like, is that Trump is firing general after general after general, and then I assume installing people that are more loyal to him. And they have not addressed why they are doing this, which once again, this administration is completely disinterested in explaining to the American people any of the actions that they take, which I think is one of the more not normal things that we've all come to accept. Like, the president of the United States launched an illegal war in Iran and never did an address to the American people until Wednesday of this week. And like, even George W. Bush, for as like catastrophic as his presidency was, they understood, hey, I got to go talk to people before I go bomb somebody.
And Trump did an address to the Union like 4 days before the war, didn't say a word about it.
No, didn't say anything about it. I mean, had an opportunity to do it and say, we're going to be moving forward with an operation, didn't do it. And it drives me nuts. So Hegseth is firing generals. And it's coming at a time. He also fired, by the way, the army chaplain, which is the first time that that's ever happened. And it scares the hell out of me because with Hegseth, one, he is completely and totally unqualified for the job that he has. His entire qualification for this role is that he was a weekend Fox and Friends host that Donald Trump liked. That's it. He doesn't have any experience working at the Pentagon. He doesn't have any real experience in military operations at the scale and level that you would need to win a war in Iran. And it's part of the reason I think this whole thing's been a disaster. It's part of the reason that they continue to lie. The Intercept has reporting right now that they are lying about the number of American military personnel that have been killed in this war and the number that have been wounded. It may be as high as 750. And that's crazy because they're claiming it's like a couple dozen at best. So you have the wrong person in the role. He's also a Christian nationalist. He is a fascist. He believes that America should be turned into a Christian fascist state. And as a practicing Catholic, I find that disgusting. This week, they went out of their way to alienate Catholics who work at the Pentagon when they did a Protestant service for Good Friday yesterday instead of a non-denominational service, which is what you would traditionally do in a situation like that. And they went out of their way to just really offend a lot of people relative to that. So I'm worried that what's happening right now, and nobody's paying attention to it because we've got multiple concurrent scandals. We've got a missing pilot in Iran still. I don't think they found him overnight, right? Which is terrifying. God, I hope they find him before the Iran government does, because God knows what they'll do to them. My dad actually called me last night and said, my dad was like, he's like, you know what I'm scared of? I'm scared that it's a woman, and he's scared about the way that she'll be treated in Iran. I don't even know. I hadn't even considered that last night, and I'm just like very worried about this person who was, you know, a very brave. And, you know, no matter how you feel about the war, our American military personnel are amazing heroes. And I'm scared to death that they've been put in harm's way by this administration. But Hegseth is reshaping the Pentagon in a way that I think scares the hell out of me. And I worry is not representative of where the vast majority of Americans want to take this. And I'm scared to death of it.
Yeah. And there's also some reporting. Now, this is coming from the New York Post, so it's like, take it with a grain of salt. But they also have sources within the administration. They're saying U.S. Defense Secretary Pete Hegseth is reportedly growing increasingly paranoid about losing his particular job, which Trump admin officials say contributed to the firing of U.S. Army's top general on Thursday. They talked to sources within the Trump admin under the condition of anonymity, and the details include, number one, Trump admin officials say Pete Hegseth is worried about Army Secretary Dan Driscoll taking his job. He would likely not be doing military slam poetry with ChatGPT speeches saying maximum lethality, not tepid legality. You know that clip? I hate that clip so much.
Absolutely.
Okay. Yeah, yeah.
There's a new Hegseth clip every day that just makes me like roll my eyes.
I always call it on my show military snap poetry, which is literally what he's doing. It's the same thing every time. He's like rhyming. Yeah, he's like rhyming stuff. He's like, dim the lights, everybody. Dim the lights. We're going to start doing my speech.
This is the worst. Like if the Daily Wire did a version of 8 Mile, it would be about Pete Hegseth doing slam poetry.
Exactly. But number two, Hegseth on Secretary demanded the resignation of Army Chief of Staff General Randy George, Driscoll's top aide, for reasons that were not publicly stated. Number three, quote, this is all driven by the insecurity and paranoia that has developed since Signalgate and ongoing, said an official. Number four, it has really gotten under Hegseth's skin. He's trying to make everyone around Driscoll suffer for no reason. There seems to be growing tensions at the Department of War. So we're seeing a reality where Donald Trump is starting to open the floodgates of firing more and more people. Now, I'm not going to make some crazy declaration or like prediction that Pete Hegseth is ousted in a month. That's not what I'm trying to say here, but we have absolutely seen a pattern of Donald Trump beginning to grow uneasy, firing the people around him, reprimanding the people around him. There are also, so there are reports that it's Tulsi Gabbard. Pete Hegseth.
So scared.
Yeah, I mean, it's a bad situation. And then the other thing with Hegseth too is Hegseth's a drunk. Like, we need to be honest about that. Like, this is a well-reported known fact that Hegseth is a drunk. And so you have just a person who on every level should not be in charge. Like, I wouldn't put him in charge of like watching my dog for the weekend, to be honest with you, because I'm pretty sure he would get my dog killed. So the fact that he's in charge of America's military is terrifying. And then on top of that, you have Tulsi Gabbard, who might as well be a foreign asset as far as I'm concerned. She might be with us on the war in Iran. I don't know if that's a deeply held belief or not. Joe Kent certainly seems to believe that it is. But you have a bunch of people who are unqualified. And I think for a second, I'd like to just talk about culture. Because as someone who, like, look, I have multiple businesses. I run like a 50-some person consulting company. Like, culture can come from the bottom and culture can come from the top, right? And Trump sets the tone for the nation. He sets the tone for his staff. And by creating an incentive structure where Pam Bondi feels, oh, my job's in danger, so I have to go scream about the Dow and not look in the eyes of the Epstein survivors who are standing 10 feet away from me, that sends a pretty nasty signal. It creates these moments where the American people get sick to their stomach about the people we have in charge of our government. It creates an incentive where Pete Hegseth feels like I got to do double, triple tap strikes to kill people because that's what Donald Trump wants so that I can make goofy memes on the Department of War's Twitter account or so that I can create the conditions for Donald Trump to be able to send a fundraising email with a dead soldier's casket in it. And by the way, that's the thing. I say this as an online fundraiser. It's the most disgusting fundraising email I've ever seen. And it was at best a 30-minute story in the corporate media. It just makes me unbelievably mad about these people. So Trump has created a culture where all of these people are sycophants. They lie. RFK Jr. the other day was talking about how Donald Trump drew a hand-drawn map of the Middle East on the back of a sheet of paper and then started identifying our military readiness on the sheet of paper, which is insane. One, because Donald Trump says he doesn't draw. And I was undercutting the Epstein lies for a second, but like, it's just so insane. Carolyn Leavitt says that Donald Trump is the most well-read person she's ever met. So
that is so true.
It's crazy. We have the worst possible people in government at a time when the average American can't pay their mortgage, when everything's more expensive because of Donald Trump, when we're at war with Iran, when the Strait of Hormuz is closed. We need calmer heads to prevail. I wish we could impeach and remove this president. I really wish we could, because I don't want J.D. Vance to be president, but at this point I'm starting to go, that might actually be better. It might honestly, can we remove them both and then we can make Chuck Grassley president, right? Because he's next in line as Senate pro tem. Is that the Speaker of the House? Is Speaker of the House and then Senate pro tem?
It's Speaker of the House. But Chuck Grassley is about the right age. There were leftover ships, excess ships that were still headed to the United States even after the Strait of Hormuz was closed. They have now all arrived. We are now at a point where the amount of ships that are able to come over are rapidly dropping. We are losing our supply and we're going to see this massive supply shock. Guess what? There's no one else we can blame for that. There's nobody else that can be blamed for the supply shock other than Donald Trump. There's no one he can fire around him. It's not Scott Bessent's fault. It's not Joe Biden's fault. It's not Xi Jinping's fault. It is quite literally the fault of Donald Trump. There is currently a delayed reaction that is going to happen in the markets when these ships stop hitting the United States. Just imagine it this way. It takes about 30 days for these ships to transit the sea. So when the strait closed, we still had ships coming over here, ships hitting us. And there were some rises due to sort of market predictions. People are saying everything is going to spike. We haven't actually seen the full supply shock on diesel, on gas prices. And if the Strait of Hormuz is continuing to be closed in this manner, it is going to be very, very brutal. The United States doesn't know how to open the Strait of Hormuz, and Donald Trump cannot blame anybody else for this. There is nobody else to fire.
I think that's been a great conversation, Adam. I appreciate always talking to you. Everybody, make sure that you subscribe to Adam on Substack, on YouTube. Keep hitting those hearts on the way out the door so more people see it. The more you engage with these videos, the more we can grow our networks thanks to the algorithm. And if you want to support the work that we're doing, it's $8 a month, $80 a year to support Endless Urgency. It's the same to support Adam Mockler. Like, we are doing the best we can to build independent media companies that can take on Donald Trump and MAGA and really just try to speak truth to power and help make sense of whatever the hell's going on any given day. I appreciate you guys so much. Adam, we'll talk again on Wednesday at 10 a.m. Central Time.
See you Wednesday. Thank you, everybody. Thank you, Mike.
See you, buddy. Bye, everybody.
What's up, everybody? It's Bretzky, and America is turning 250. And I can't think of a better way to celebrate that than playing on an American-owned social casino, SpinQuest.com. With all of your favorite games, live craps, bubble craps, live blackjack, there's no better place to play for free and win real cash prizes. SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.